Welcome, welcome to the best 5 minute wine podcast with Forrest Kelly.
I get a lot of voicemails like you do. Wrong numbers, wine questions, the occasional telemarketer promising me a cruise to nowhere, sour grapes blowing up my phone wanting more airtime. But this voicemail stopped me in my tracks. Wait, did he just say former bass player for the rock group Italian wine importer, private chef, and he takes people on vacations? This guy sounds like Anthony Bourdain meets Keith Richards meets Stanley Tucci. Well, there you go. And just like that, from my inbox into this episode of the Best 5 Minute Wine Podcast. But here's the twist. He didn't even start playing an instrument until he was almost 20 years old. He went from dry cleaning to dive bars and stadiums, from strings to stemware. And somewhere along the way, he emailed me back a voicemail with a live guitar solo attached. So without further ado, this is not just a story about wine. This is about taking a shot, betting on yourself, and answering the call. Best 5 Minute Wine Podcast.
Hey, Forrest. Just letting you know I'm checking out your podcast on Best 5 Minute Wine Podcast. Pretty cool stuff. You might be interested in what I do. I am Italian wine importer, a private chef. I take people on vacation, and I used to be the bass player in the rock band Bunny in the early 90s. I think it could make a good story for your show. If you're interested at all, hit me back. And look forward to hearing from you.
Hi, this is Paul Kelvin, personal chef, sommelier, travel guide. I have a nonprofit called Paul Cares. And I started listening to your podcast, and I really dug what you were doing. Thought it would be really cool to be on your show.
I had some fun with the voicemail that I sent. I went in the studio, and I cut up some stuff, and I put it together, yeah. And I sent it to Paul. I thought I was doing pretty good. And then you sent something back. You put an acoustic version of a song. You upped the ante on sending the voicemail back, and I was like, oh, my God, this is awesome.
Yeah, I actually did it live. I just grabbed my guitar, and because, you know, I got yours. I'm like, oh, wow, he's got music in the background. Well, I'm just going to freaking play for him.
Yeah, you play that. And then I said, OK, I got to get this guy on the show because you're so diverse. Let's go back to your childhood or college or wherever. Where was an inspirational time that you can really look back now at this age and say that was a critical point that I made that trek?
Well, in high school, I was a star athlete in basketball, soccer and tennis. Even though music was my love, I went to so many concerts. I mean, I saw so many. One of them, my favorites, was Van Halen's first tour with Montrose with Sammy Hagar, and then Journey's first tour with Steve Perry. And that was just one of the best ever. But, you know, I didn't have a time to play an instrument during that time period because I played sports all year round, basically. And then I moved to from Buffalo. That's where I'm from. I moved from Buffalo to Fort Myers the day after I graduated high school to help my parents open a business. And it was a dry cleaning business. We knew nothing about it, but we dug in and made it successful. But in the meantime, I was thinking, I don't want to be in the dry cleaning business. You know, at 19, 20 years old, I already had that thought. And I said, you know what? I love music so much, I'm going to pick up guitar. I picked it up for a brief moment. And then I met who was going to be my guitar teacher, Stacy Boyd. And right before I was going to start lessons with him, he said, you know, Paul, I've been thinking. He goes, you should probably play bass because there's not a lot of bass players out there and not a lot of good ones, especially. So he loved my work ethic and my enthusiasm. And he turned me on to some great bass players like Jaco Pastorius from Weather Report and Stanley Clark. And of course, I knew Geddy Lee from Rush. And then, about 6 months later, I was playing country music, making $350 a week.
$350 a week? You thought you were the richest guy on the planet, didn't you?
It was way more than I was making in the dry cleaning business, that's for sure. Plus, there was women and drinking and partying, and can't say what all that partying was, but I was having a blast, you know. So yeah, I did that, and I just went from band to band. I barely had any time off. So if I got a better gig, I jumped on with another band, or if a band disbanded, I just went and found another band. And for the first 3 years, I played almost, you know, every week. And I would leave a band on Saturday in Indiana and join a new one in Memphis on Tuesday, you know, and then one of those, that band specifically was The Kids. And the next thing I knew, I was in Alaska playing. So it was like the first 3 years was just insane.
What an adventure, and what a groundwork to hone your craft in different environment.
Oh, for sure. You know, but I just kept playing. I had my head down, knowing that I didn't start playing an instrument until I was 20 years old. I had a lot of catching up to do. So I just dove in, and I'd be practicing during the day and then playing at night. I eat, slept, and drank bass guitar. You know, it all worked out really well for me.
Were your parents a little bit disappointed that you didn't want to go into the dry cleaning business?
oh, my dad was really upset because he wanted me to take it over when he retired. And I'm like, Dad, sorry, I can't do that. You know, my mom was pretty supportive as of now also. Well, she passed away 16 years ago, but she, you know, would have been really proud of, you know, where I am today being a private chef and all.
Yeah, it's like, Dad, I've got another thing to be known for. I don't know what it is yet, but it's not going to be 1 hour Martinizing.
Right. And yeah, exactly. And he, you know, of course, you know, the aha moment for him is when he saw me play in front of 12,000 people, you know, and I looked over at him and he was on the side of the stage and the tears were, you know, rolling down his cheeks. So I think he was okay with my decision. Well, the short story is about 14 years ago, I was sitting at our local restaurant, me and my wife having a drink and some food. And I heard somebody that was sitting next to me say Buffalo. And I said, oh, well, I'm from Buffalo. He goes, oh, I lived there for 40 years, blah, blah, blah. And they just moved to the area. You know, I live in the Rehoboth Beach, Delaware area where a lot of retirees come because of our tax situation. We have none. He goes, yeah. I said, well, what are you doing now? He goes, well, I just started an Italian wine import company with this guy from Italy. And I said, oh, wow, that's interesting. He goes, yeah, we're not in Delaware yet. You know, so we're looking for somebody to, you know, get our wines in restaurants and retail stores. And I said, well, I've been here for a while, you know, 12 years or whatever. I said, I know a lot of people because I had been playing music, you know, in the area, you know. And yeah, he goes, oh, great. Well, you know, maybe I'll have my partner give you a call. So the next day I'm driving, I get a call from Italy saying, I heard you're our new sales rep for Delaware. I said, well, I didn't actually agree to that, but hell yeah, I'll do it, you know. And he was from Trenton, New Jersey, but he had lived in Italy for a long time and married an Italian. And he had a great, it was Portovino was the name of the company. And he had a great company and great wines. And I really, at that time, I didn't know too much about wines other than what I learned, you know, doing some wine tastings at local wine shops and stuff. And so I had like, you know, I had to learn all of it. I had to actually learn how to pronounce some of the names because I was pronouncing them wrong. And it was going really well. I got wines placed in Delaware and DC and Maryland, and we were off and running, and I was having a blast. So I was playing music at night and working in the wine business during the day. And then I got to go, soon after my mom passed, I got to go to Italy because I figured if I was going to sell wine, I needed to know the stories, right? The backstories.
Yep.
So me and my wife went to Italy for 2 weeks. I got to meet all my 12 or 14 producers I represented. And to this day, some of these are still my great friends, and I'll probably be bringing in wines from them eventually, you know. So that was kind of the start of it. And then I did a California wine about 2 or 3 years after that job ended. And I was like, wow, this is cool. I had a connection with Harris Teeter grocery stores. I don't know if you know them out there, but they're owned by Kroger now. But I had a friend who was the actual wine buyer. So I had my wines in Harris Teeter stores in North Carolina. And what I found out, you know, I had to have a distributor, right? I knew that. But what I found out is they made all the money, and all my expenses for promoting my wine, you know, put me in debt, you know. So that ended sadly. And then the private chef took off, and I started using my friend's wines from Italy, you know, during me cooking for you, and I pour Italian wines and then I play music afterwards. So I'd use their wines. So I started looking into, you know, what it would take to do my own label from Italy. And that was to get my import license. So I applied for that about 4 years ago, and I had it in 10 days. I was like, oh my God, I don't know. I guess they were on a downturn on busyness at the, you know, at the TTB, but I got it. And then I reached out to my friends who I'd been using their wines over the years. And I asked them if I could do a private label with my guitar on them. And they said yes. And then just started the ball rolling.
Just out of curiosity, what is that permit or whatever, what does that cost?
Not a dime.
Wow.
So I had my, you have to have your basic permit. That's what I needed to have for my California wines. I already had that. That doesn't expire. All I had to do is go on the same website where my permit is registered. I just applied for it, and it didn't cost a dime. And I got it, and then I was off and running.
Oh, yeah. 10 days, you probably heard the horror stories of how long it could take. 10 days, you're like, whoa, I'm not ready yet.
Yeah, I had no idea how long it was going to take. So when I got that email, I'm like, oh, my God, I guess I better I better start getting the ball rolling. And I'm no, I was in no hurry.
Yeah.
Because I had a friend locally in Pennsylvania that did a wine for me. It was Rosso di Toscana. It was from the Montalcino area. So it wasn't a Brunello because it was outside that penciled-in area. So I started with that, and he helped me with that before I got my import license. So I already kind of had that ball rolling as having my own wine. And then our first two wines we brought in under our company were Arnais, the white wine from Piemonte, and then Barbera d'Asti. So those were our first two wines, and that was about 3 years ago when I brought those in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't have the full process of everything, you know. I'm not in there stomping the grapes and all that. All I do is sample you know, the wines that they have, you know, in their portfolio and say, hey, I like this one. Now, we did do our latest one is a Rosso, Rock and Rosso, which is a Nebbiolo blend, and I did actually sat at the table with them and we blended the wine together. But other than that, I mean, they're always doing, all my producers are doing great wines, and I didn't need to do much, you know, other than say, yes, I want that one.
Yeah, that's how you do it, Paul. Give full credit where it's due. You know how to pick good fruit and good collaborations. We got a voicemail talking about one of your great wines. Chris Wood from Southern California.
Hey, Forrest. Thanks for the nudge to try the Paul Cullen Roriero Arnais from the Talaferro Cullen Art Series. First of all, it has a gorgeous label. Totally looks like something you'd want to hang on a wall. But let's talk about what's inside. So I looked it up first, and everything said medium body like a Chardonnay. But honestly, this one tasted way more like an Albarino to me. Light, crisp, and easy drinking, but without the salty minerality you usually get with an Albarino. If anything, I'd say it's like a Sauvignon Blanc and an Albarino had a baby, but raised it on a fruit orchard instead of a citrus. It's like soft pear, apple, maybe even a little floral, like a hint of white peach blossom. Soft-spoken, but memorable. I would highly recommend. Cheers to something unexpected and for bringing this variety into the spotlight.
That's a pretty spot-on take from Chris. Good job. Smooth, approachable, and a little unexpected, kind of like Paul himself. Easygoing, a little refined, and probably best enjoyed with something sizzling on the stove. That brings us to the other side of Paul's world, the private chef experience. Tell me about that.
It was, well, it was after the California wine, and then I just sort of by accident, you know, I got into the private chef business. I mean, I say accident, but we used to love having people over for dinner, and I've had some of our best chefs, James Beard winners, James Beard nominated chefs, over my house for dinner, over our house, me and my wife. And we were kind of like invite couples that didn't know each other, and we thought that was like a really cool thing, kind of social networking before social networking. Yeah, then one time I made this, you know, Italian meal for them, and had some great wines from my friends, and my friend said, hey, can you do this in our house? And I said, oh, for sure. And he goes, hey, and bring your guitar and play some music, you know, it would be great. I'm like, oh wow, so a dinner and a concert. And that was about 12 years ago. And now that's just taken off every year. It just gets better and better. And we figured I probably cooked for about 15,000 people since I started doing it.
Do you have somebody who handles that, the booking and all of the meal prep?
Yeah, me. No, I have a great assistant, Nina. Nina Carl, she's been with me for 9 years, and she really helps me out. We go to all the dinners ourselves. She prepares the charcuterie board and whatever antipasti we do while I'm making the salad and making the entree. I always, you know, cook on premise, you know, whatever, at anybody's house that we cook for. I do all the cooking right there.
You're loading, you're bringing a van with all the food and everything?
Yep. I got a modest SUV, and I have a toolbox, a stand-up toolbox that's on wheels, and it has all my utensils and knives and spices and vinegars and everything I need. And then we bring our own pots and pans, and if they need, we bring, you know, plates, basically the whole table setting if they need. Yeah, I don't ever have to go in their cupboard or their drawers or anything. I've done this so much. In fact, it was the first, you know, handful that I did. I said, you know what? I need to bring my own stuff, because you never know what, you know, what you come up against. We bring it all. Yeah, for seven people, over seven and over, it's 125 a person, and then 250 for my assistant Nina, and then they have to purchase the wines by law. But you know, we work stuff out with them also. That includes the music also. Sure, we go all over the country. You know, I've been actually Costa Rica, and I did an event there before COVID, and it was for the Anderson Windows people. And then two summers ago, the Pernod Ricard group, you know, they own Jameson's Irish Whiskey and Absolute. They flew me and Nina to Aspen to cook for them at the Hotel Jerome, which was just insane. You know, and I've been to California. I go to Florida on a regular basis. And where I live is actually a great spot because within, say, 3 hours of where we live, we have Northern Virginia, D.C., all of Maryland, basically, except for the west part, and then southern, southeastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York's 3.5 hours. So we have millions of people that we can reach just within, you know, 2 or 3 hours of where we are.
Paul Cullen wines aren't just about what's in the glass. They're an extension of the man himself, the former Bad Company bassist turned winemaker. Built a following for his smooth, approachable blends like Rock and Rosso. But for Paul, the story doesn't end with the pour. Offstage, he's also a renowned private chef and host, rolling up to homes across the country with his guitar, his knives, and a van full of Lambrusco. Go ahead, Paul, take us inside the rhythm of those nights.
So we roll in, depending on how big the party is. You know, we're doing 8 people tomorrow night. That's a cakewalk for us because we just did a double on Saturday. We did 25 people for a wedding shower, and then we took an hour break, and then we cooked dinner when the husbands got there for 16. We roll up an hour and a half, 2 hours before, unload the van, take control of the kitchen, you know, and people, you know, they sometimes just hang out with us, which we're really used to. I mean, we've done so many of these. I think Nina's been with me for close to 1,400. So we're like a well-oiled machine. We roll it in, and then we just start prepping, you know, and then talking. And if, you know, if people are standing around, Nina gives them, you know, some of the cheeses that we have to, for them to try, you know, before everybody gets to the party. And then once everybody gets there, Nina pours my Lambrusco because we always start out with our dry, fizzy, cold red. And then we already have the antipasti, which is about, I don't know, probably about 14, 15 small bites along with a charcuterie board. 45 minutes in, we sit them down and drop salad or soup, depending on, you know, the time of the season. And then entrees. And then we give everybody a break. And then we pick a place where they want me to play by the fireplace, the fire pit, whatever. And then I start playing music and Nina does all the cleanup and has dessert for everybody ready by the time that I'm done playing. And then we're out of there. And so once the party starts, it's about 2.5 hours from the time we leave. And which is pretty darn good. You know, we don't lollygag. We don't hang around unless they have really good cigars and bourbon.
That's funny. You said lollygag. I was trying to explain to somebody the other day what that exactly meant. And I was like, I think you're more confused and I'm more confused. But I know when you're somebody's lollygagging, I know when they're doing it.
Can't explain it. Well, it's you can drop the F-bomb. It's effing around. You know, yeah. we don't F around. Yeah. Because like right now we're in the middle of doing, I have tonight off with my wife, thank God, because she's going to divorce me if I don't have a night off here and there. But, you know, we're in the middle of doing like 20 events in, you know, 18 days. So, wow. You know, when we're done with an event, you know, we're ready to go home and relax and chill out.
Paul, the Teamster, shows up in the van and then he switches to roadie and then he switches to chef. And then you're switching to smoozer, social media guy, taking all the pictures and
fitting. Yep.
Yeah, then you're entertainer. At the end of these events, are you just sapped or are you energized?
Well, you know, when I play music at the end, you know, the whole thing is great, right? But the music part is really special because here I am playing a private concert in your home for 8 to 20 people or whatever. That is really, really special because I have their attention on 100%. And if I do hear somebody talking, I'll call them out. I'm like, hey, eyes up here. 1, 2, 3, eyes on me, you know? But that's usually not the case. People are really enthralled with the fact, you know, that used to be famous. And here I am playing those songs. And then I have, since 2007, when I switched to guitar, I have over 50 originals, which I finally got them all up on Spotify. But so I'm actually energized a bit, you know, and knock back a bourbon, you know, take pictures, hug everybody. And then me and Dean are off. And then we start it all over again the next day. Well, yes and no. I mean, everything I do now, you know, is intertwined, you know, in-home dining, wine business, travel, and then Paul Cares, my nonprofit. So I've had people that come to our room. Paul Cares owns a concert venue. In fact, we have John Ford Coley of England Dan and John Ford Coley doing 3 sold-out shows. And I'd really love to see you tonight. Those people come here for shows. They have me cook dinner for them in their home. They go on vacation with us, and or they buy my wine. You know, so it's all kind of intertwined.
From the kitchen to the stage, Paul Cullen proves that passion doesn't need boundaries, just needs good or bad company. Whether he's serving up a Lambrusco, a house-made pasta, or a private concert by the fire pit, every night ends the same way, with music, laughter, and a toast to the good life. That's Paul Cullen, musician, winemaker, and chef, blending flavor and harmony one dinner at a time.
We're a 501c3, and we got our paperwork back in 2021. And then we started doing events and fundraisers. And our whole mission is to help kids in the culinary and musical arts. We're helping young adults and kids follow their dreams. And here's a good example. Alondra, who actually works in our kitchen here at the room, she is going to Dell Tech, which is a local technical college. And her class went to Italy a couple months ago, and she couldn't afford to go. So Paul Cares paid for her trip to go and spend 10 days in Italy immersing herself in the Italian culture. And, you know, and that sort of stuff for me, I mean, I was so jazzed by it all. And then her texting me pictures and just the whole experience. When I saw her, when she got back, she like had tears in her eyes. So that to me makes it worth every bit of work that we do on in that organization. Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, I've been so fortunate. I've been there 16 times.
Yeah.
In the last 12 years, including I've already been there once this year, and then I'm taking 2 groups, one in September and 1 in October. So I'll be there for like 27 days from September to October.
Where does the nonprofit, how does it dovetail into all your other organizations?
Yeah, so, you know, we have our major fundraiser every year. It's called Concert for the Kids, and our band Bad River plays. And then we have local musicians, and then we'll feature young adults. Like we had the School of Rock locally. They came and they opened up the show for us this year. And then we also do that's our big fundraiser. And then we do a golf tournament every year. This will be our 3rd one in October 7th. And it's the Rock and Roll Golf Tournament, of course. You're supposed to wear your favorite concert t-shirt. And then me and my buddy Robbie, we play music afterwards, and there's a barbecue. And so those are our 2 fundraisers that we focus on every year. But then we do, you know, up to, 4 or 5 shows a week here at the room in Cedar Grove where I'm sitting right now. And, you know, all of that is the fundraising part of it also.
Okay, so let's do the big reveal. So you're touring, you said, you know, you're doing all these gigs playing bass, and you went from, you know, the East Coast all the way to, you said, Alaska, right?
Yeah.
And then fast forward a little bit in your music career, when did you get the opportunity or get contacted to join the band?
Yeah, so 1990, well, actually about 88, I went back to Fort Myers, Florida, where I had lived, and after touring for a bunch, and we had a band called the Boys of Summer. And at that time, we had a song being played on the radio, which was pretty incredible because we didn't have a record deal. So we had an original called Little Black Book. At that time, the singer, Brian Johnson from AC/DC, Cliff Williams, the bass player from AC/DC, and at the time, the singer from Bad Company, Brian Howe, all lived there. So because our band was so good, and I'm not just bragging, I mean, I watched the videos, that band was really good. So I got to be friends with them. And I used to play golf with Brian Johnson on a regular basis, just because we got in their circle. Whenever they had people in town, they would bring them out to see our band because they knew it was a kick-ass band. And then they would sit in with us. Out of the blue, I get this phone call from Brian from Bad Company. I'm saying, how would you like to audition for Bad Company? You know, and it's ironic because I was just coming back from the grocery store. So I had groceries in my hand. This was pre-cell phone, right? So it was a phone on the wall. And I got a bag of groceries in my hand. He goes, hey, mate, it's Brian from Bad Company. How would you like to audition for Bad Company? And, you know, I basically dropped the bag of groceries. But in my cool voice, I said, oh, yeah, that'd be great. You know, but I was like freaking the hell out. Yeah, he said, do you have a passport? I said, no. He goes, well, you need to get one ASAP. So I jumped all over it. I had 2 weeks to get it. I got it day before I left for England to audition. Flew to England. I'd never been to London or England before. What a fantastic experience that was. But the cool part was I was auditioning for Bad Company, you know. And the short story is I got there about 10 in the morning after the overnight flight. I got to my hotel. I was just chilling out. You know, I was still kind of buzzing from everything, but I just wanted to close my eyes for a second because, of course, I didn't sleep on the way over. Yeah, and then I got a call, and the limo was picking me up at 11. So I had an hour to take a shower, and they drove me to the rehearsal place, which I thought maybe would be something really nice, but it was in, like, the West End. It was, you know, gated and all that. But, yeah, I got there, and I met the original members, Mick and Simon. Yeah, and then we kicked it off. We played Feel Like Making Love and Can't Get Enough of Your Love. And nailed them both. We went to the pub, which is attached to the rehearsal space, and had a pint of beer. And on the way back, Simon Kirk, the drummer, said, "So what'd you think?" Again, in my cool voice, I said, "Yeah, it was pretty cool." He goes, "Well, you got the job if you want it." And I said, yeah, I'll take it. Yeah, sounds good. And we went in and played a couple more songs, had a couple more pints. I didn't know they were basically testing me to see if I could drink and play. Oh. Because they drink there in England, and I'm well versed. I'm Irish and Italian, so yeah, there was no problem on that end. Yeah, I got the job. I hung out in London for maybe a week or so, and I got to meet some amazing stars and David Gilmour from Pink Floyd. And yeah, it was so surreal. I can't even tell you. I mean, it was like I was dreaming. I went home and I had a plane ticket waiting for me for LA to go do the video, which was on MTV. While MTV was cool and playing music videos, I came back and they flew me to Burlington, Vermont, and we rehearsed for the tour and started the tour there. And so from 5 weeks from the phone call, I was actually playing on stage with Bad Company.
Long before Paul Cullen poured himself into the wine business, he lived a completely different life. One that took him from learning bass guitar in Florida to touring arenas with one of rock's most iconic bands. And ironically, getting a full-time job in radio while I was a senior in high school. I know all about Bad Company. My favorite album is the 1990 Holy Water album, and that's the album that Paul Cullen started playing bass guitar on.
That was a great album. You know, it was basically the singer at the time and the producer that basically wrote everything on that album. So, and then Mick, the guitar player, and Simon played drums, obviously, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it was so well done. I mean, Terry Thomas was the producer. He was amazing. He produced Foreigner and, you know, people along those lines, too. So, yeah, it was a high-quality album.
Have you got a highlight from, because you were with him for, what, 2-3 years?
Yeah, about 3 years, yeah. By far, the highlight was, okay, you know, we already know the story. I joined them in Florida, right? So, and I didn't learn how to play bass till I got to Florida. So my highlight was it was February 26th of 1991. Not that I remember, but it's when I got to go play my hometown of Buffalo. And I had already been in the band for over a year. And obviously all my family and friends from that I knew up there all knew, you know, I was in the band. So some of them would come when we got close to Buffalo, which was great, but Buffalo was amazing. You know, 16,000 people. It was just the highlight of my life. In fact, I wrote a song called King for a Day, and it certainly was, you know. And I look back at that now, and I go, you know, that the cool part was it was like hashtag validation, right? For all the people that wondered why I became a musician, including my family, thinking that I should maybe get a regular job. They were all there, you know, and the accolades and, you know, just everything, the joy on everybody's face, especially my family. I'm the oldest of 30 grandchildren on my Italian side. So, wow. I mean, they were all there. They, you know, good thing about playing Buffalo in February, there's not a lot going on except for snow.
Yeah.
So I was on the radio in the morning show, and then I was on TV. They interviewed me, and I was in the Buffalo News, the newspaper at the time. So they made, you know, made it a really big deal that like local boy does good. And so by far, that was the coolest night ever. I don't even think I went to bed until like 8 a.m, you know, the next day. It was just too wild. I was so, you know, so high without drugs, you know, just because of, you know, the situation.
Is there a favorite bass riff song that you've got?
Probably, there's several. I mean, Jaco Pastorius, you know, they did the song, Weather Report did, Birdland. But there's a song called A Remark You Made on that album. It was called Heavy Weather was the album. That one still brings me to tears. And sadly, he was killed, you know, a long time ago. So he's not even around. But I think, you know, I really got into Yes there, and I still am. So some of my favorite bass lines are Chris Squire's. And then and of course, Geddy Lee, you know, YYZ and any basically anything Rush, you know, was my favorite. And I do got to add, though, that, you know, bass lines in Bad Company were a pleasure to play because he wasn't just a play one note bassist. He had really beautiful timing and sick. He was jazzy. He was funky. And, you know, I don't know if you know, but he was actually the bass player in King Crimson at one time. Yeah, way back. So he, you know, it was a pure pleasure to learn his songs and to play them. I mean, I knew a lot of them, but I had to go back in and learn, you know, the other ones like Rocksteady and stuff like that I didn't know, you know, that we didn't play, you know. So I couldn't have picked a better band to play in because it's right up my wheelhouse on how I play.
We've been discussing Paul Cullen Wines. We've talked about Paul Cares, the charity foundation. We talked about life on the road with Bad Company. Are we done? Nope. There's more to Paul Cullen.
And I was like, yeah, let's do it. She goes, well, you get paid this and everything else is for free if you have so many people, you know? And I'm like, okay. So our first one was on an Oceania cruise.
Picture this, the sun setting over the Tuscan hills, a glass of ruby red wine catching the last light of the day and the soft strum of a guitar drifting through the air. It's not a scene from a movie. It's a moment from a Paul Cullen journey. The former Bad Company bassist has traded arena spotlights for vineyard sunsets, crafting unforgettable food, wine, and music experiences that span from Rome to Lisbon, Tuscany to Havana. This isn't just travel. It's storytelling through taste, sound, and soul. All right, Captain, let's set sail.
Yeah, so we started in 2018. I met a local travel agent, Accent on Travel, and Annette, the owner, and I became friends. She thought that I could do a group trip, and I'm like, who the hell would go with me? And this was like, you know, 10, 11 years ago when I just kind of started the in-home dining and building my base and my brand. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. She goes, well, you get paid this and everything else is for free if you have so many people, you know? And I'm like, okay. So our first one was on an Oceania cruise, which is the creme de the creme of like food and wine cruises. And she picked that one. We picked Rome to Lisbon and I brought 18 people with me. So I didn't quite break even. I spent some money, but it was a great experience.
Yeah.
Since then, like good example, every year is built up out, of course, except for COVID year. But then the next year, we actually doubled up on stuff we had in COVID. But a good example on how far it's gone in 10 years. Last year, we went on four different trips and we took over 170 people with us over those four trips.
Wow.
Yeah. And it includes, you know, most of it's European, you know, mainly Italy. We just started going to Cuba recently and that's been amazing. In fact, we're just getting ready to release Cuba 2026 in March. That has been one of my favorite trips, although, you know, you can't beat Tuscany or Italy or basically anything I do, but that's really special because that's outside of our wheelhouse. And it's just the Cuban people are amazing. The musicians are insanely good. And, the food is great. Everything about it. And I'm a cigar guy, so I'm in heaven, right? You know, so that's where it came from. You know, say 10, 11 years ago, we did 18 people on one trip. And now, you know, we're doing 170. We did 170 last year.
So when the people sign up for the trip, they obviously, how involved are you within their daily activities?
So I'm with them the whole time. Yeah. And so we do, you know, like for instance, when we're doing Tuscany, we're doing an olive oil resort in October. We have the whole resort. Every day we go out and do a day trip. We go to a winery, we go to a city like Siena or San Gimignano or Florence, and or we go go meet, hang out with the famous butcher, Dario Cicchetti, and have a 7-course meat lunch. And then we intertwine music. I'll play music at nighttime for everybody when we're just sitting around the fire pit or fireplace. And then I have musicians that I play with over there. In fact, if you go on my Spotify, you'll see Live in Tuscany. It's me and a violinist I've been playing with for 10 years now, or actually, yeah, about 10 years. And his name's Alessandro Golini, and he's just amazing. And so we'll invite him to the villa, and he'll hang out with us. And I find it really interesting that, well, we play really well together, but we don't speak each other's language, but we know the language of music. So that's a real special part of it, And then some of them we do, like the Tall Sailing Ship we're doing from Rome to Sicily. I just play music on that one because it's, their kitchen is already, doing the food that they need to. So I don't need to be doing that. But we will do excursions. Like when we're in Sicily, we go to my friend's vineyard, Gambino, which is on Mount Etna. And we take everybody up there. They already have a guitar there, so I know I don't have to bring it because I've been there several times. And we have one long table for however many people. I think we had 30 the last time, with big glass windows overlooking the vineyard. And then I grab my guitar and play a couple songs for everybody. So it's all intertwined depending on which vacation it is, luxury cruise, tall sailing ship, or land package.
I'm getting exhausted listening to all these things that you're doing and just the energy that takes it. Does your wife ever poke you and go, you don't have to be on right now?
Yeah, she does. Yeah. But she goes on 80% of the trips with us. So she's over the moon that we're doing the tall sailing ship from Rome to Sicily. She tells me every morning how many days we have left, so it's been great for her too. She absolutely loves it. She loves to travel. And, we just have such a great time together. Sometimes like me and her will stay a couple extra days and just hang out ourselves, because I do have to be on, whenever I'm taking people somewhere. I can't have a bad day.
Nope.
Because they just paid a lot of money to hang out with me and Bonnie.
PaulCullenWines.com. How many states are you allowed to ship to?
43 states. Yep. And I got a discount code for your peeps for you too. I'll give it to you at the end.
Okay.
Starting out with, I got Prosecco from Treviso, which is the daily Prosecco from that region. So it's DOC. From Conegliano, it's a lot more money, and it's DOCG, which is amazing also. But I wanted to have, we call it the roadie, speaking of roadie. So, and I don't mean you drink that when you're driving. We call it the roadie because it does what a roadie does. It kind of gets you set up for the show. So you can do Aperol spritz or any spritz you want. You can drink it by itself. You can do mimosas, drink it by the pool. So that one's called the roadie. And then the next sparkling is the Lambrusco, which I talked about, which is, dry, fizzy, cold red wine, unlike Riuniti. And I'm so happy for the vineyard. Andrea and Angelo and the family are celebrating this year their 100th year of the family making Lambrusco. And in fact, I'm taking my group there in October for a tasting and a visit. And then go to the white. It's Roero Arnais. So Arnais is a grape from the northern part of Italy, and it's sort of like in between. If you like Pinot Grigio or you like Chardonnay, it's kind of in between. It's more of a medium to full body, not a lot of acidity, no tannins because it's not done in oak. It's got peach and pear. It's really friendly wine just to drink by itself. And of course, it goes great if you're doing burrata and peach salad or something along those lines. And in fact, Arnais in Italian means little rascal. So it's a real hard grape to grow. And I sort of love that whole backstory on that. And then our rosé is our Rockin' Rosé. And it's based, Nebbiolo based from Lange. So it's basically the Barolo grape. And then also blended in that is Barbera from that region. And then Dolcetto. So it's a darker, richer rosé because it's left on the skins a little longer than normal. And Dolcetto has dark skins already, or darker than most. And then we'll go to our first red, which is the Barbera di Asti. It's obviously Barbera from Asti. This one's all vinified in steel. So it's nice and clean, low tannins. If any at all, spicy, bright, just a lovely food wine, especially with any kind of, mushroom risotto and sausage and all along those lines. And then we have our Rockin' Rosso, which is Nebbiolo again with Cabernet Sauvignon and Barbera. And that one's in oak for 12 months. So it has a little bit more structure than the Barbera. And for those Cab drinkers and Barolo lovers, it's right along those lines. And then we finish up with our Moscato d'Asti, which is one of my favorites. I'm not just saying it because it's mine. So it's slightly sweet, not overly sweet, and it almost has a dryish finish to it. But it goes great, you know, with our desserts. You know, people are amazed sometimes. They're like, wow, this is really good. I'm like, dude, my name's on it. If you're building a brand, you can't have crappy wine. No. you got to put quality stuff in there. And that's, you know, that's everything I do is all based on that anyways. So, you know, they're not sure what to expect. So that's the wow factor, right? They're like, yeah, okay, well, the guy has his own wines. And then, wow, you know, especially the Lambrusco, because like I said, I start every party with it. And people are looking at me like, what the heck is this? This is like, it's amazing, you know, because we serve it chilled the way you're supposed to. And we put it in a champagne flute because the lavender foam comes up about halfway and it just looks gorgeous.
You've traveled all over the world with your wine business and then with your travel adventures and then touring with Bad Company. Do you have a favorite place or favorite region?
Wow, I have so many. But if I just had to pick one, and maybe one that I would live in one day, would be Tuscany. It's just stunning. The food, the wine, the views, the people. I think it's just a heaven on earth.
A good wine and music pairing?
Ah, let's see. Well, let's see. I write my own songs. I think Bill the Wine. No, I don't know. I think my song Dream Dance that I wrote for my wife, that was my first original. And it was written about the Piemonte region that we were there. So I would say with that song would be a Barolo.
Besides yourself, the most famous person you've come in contact with?
Ooh, wow. Yeah, myself not included for sure. I'm only semi-famous. I would say I've cooked for Ryan Felipe, you know, the actor.
Yeah.
He was super cool. I've cooked for him twice, actually. And then I think, God, I met so many cool people. I think David Gilmour from Pink Floyd was my fave. And he's a lovely guy. He's a lovely guy, too. What? Yeah.
Now, would he be okay with you saying that term, lovely guy?
Sure. I think they didn't like that. Yes. Yeah.
That's English kind of flavor to it. Yep. If you could have anybody alive, past or in history, whatever, at your table.
I think it would be Mick Rouse from Bad Company. You know, he just passed away just a little while ago. And he was 81. He's the one that turned me on to wine, you know, on the tour bus. So I think he would really appreciate my wines and the way I cook. And in fact, it'd be great to have him and Simon Kirk both at the table, the drummer from Bad Company, so I can show him that I'm not just a great bass player.
With everything that you do, from paulcullenwines.com, your charity work with Paul Cares, your travel expeditions, what have you got in the future? I've got to believe that you've got something cooking.
Wow. I can't believe you said that. You know, that's a lot, you know, and I just got my Medicare card in January. So I'm just hanging on for dear life, you know, just trying to do as much as I can and reach as many people as I can. And we're doing that. That's for sure. I just had a meeting yesterday and we're going to have a cookbook coming out, hopefully by October. I've already been working on it and I've got some great help on it. In fact, we had a great meeting yesterday on how we're moving forward. And the title so far is Party Like a Rockstar. It's going to basically be my apps portion of my dinner and more apps. So it's more like a party thing and not like what the salad is, the soup is, the entree. We're just going to give people the ability to throw a party just like one of mine. And in fact, they could play my music from Spotify while they're doing it. And then, of course, you know, we'll have wine pairings. We're going to do cocktail lists, beer lists, you know, it's all that encompasses a party where you want to party like a rock star. So yeah, that's my next thing.
Woo. Oh, the one thing I forgot to mention too was, how did you come up with the label? How active were you in designing that label? Because it is just beautiful. It's just, I love it.
Man, I was on Pinterest or something like that, and I put in guitars, watercolor guitars, and this one came up, and I reached out to her, and she said, yeah, I'll sell you the rest to it, you know. So I bought them, and so you saw the white wine and the Barbera are the same color, they're multicolor, and then every every wine, we switch up the color now so they don't get confused. And it looks cool too. So I did, once I got the guitar, which was the multicolored one, then I go in and change them. And then I came up with the font and everything. So I basically do the labels myself also,
yeah.
Which is pretty easy now. All I do is change the color of the guitar, it's easier, you know. But yeah, that's under my things I do also. And nobody gets what I see, right? I've tried it so many times. I've actually paid dearly for that, knowing that I'm the one that needs to do it, you know, because nobody has that same vision, you know. And I think that vision turned out pretty darn well, and I want to stick with that. Now, the first one we did didn't have the embossment on the guitar, so I saw how flat it looked. And then so the next round we had embossed the guitar, so the guitar really sticks out and it shines, basically.
Always reaching for higher. That's the way to go, Paul.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for reaching out. It's been life altering.
Yeah, thanks, man. I've had a great time. I knew it would be just from listening to your show and then our voicemails back and forth.
That last email you said, it's going to be more than effing 5 minutes. I told my wife.
I know. I think your wife got a kick out of that one, right?
Yeah, my wife loves that because that's how she talks. But I don't talk like that because I still have a radio career and I never wanted to get fined by the FCC. So I try not to swear.
Yeah. I did my best not to swear also. So we got a code for your listeners. 5, the number 5, minutes, all lowercase. And you get 20% off on your next order and orders subsequent also. We're not going to cut it off, so they can keep ordering at that, you know, with that 20% off. And we already have 3 bottles or more. You get free shipping.
Nice. Dropping some coupon codes, some promo codes.
Heck yeah.
I love it. Okay, thank you very much for taking the time. I know you're very busy.
Well, thanks for having me for one thing. I had a blast. You can find me at paulcullenwines.com for the wines, paulcullenwines.com, and then Instagram at paulcullenrocks, R-O-C-K-S, for Instagram and Facebook. And then also my in-home dining website is paulcullen.rocks. So it's all about the rock. That's me, paulcullen.rocks. Right. Thank you so much.
If you missed the promo code, I'll put it in the show notes. It's the number 5 minute. 5 minute will get you 20% off of your first order and every other order. So it's not just a one-off. Thank you, paulcullenwines.com. Thanks for being part of this incredible ride with Paul Cullen, our longest and, honestly, one of the most entertaining interviews we've ever done. We'll soon be dropping the full conversation in one extended episode, plus a bonus with trivia and fun facts so you can play along. Don't miss it.
Best 5 minute 1 podcast.
Don't forget my favorite part.
Please, please like and follow. Oh.